The study this month has been on more grace, more grace. Last month, it was on grace awakening. And the last time I was here with you guys, we talked about what grace is. What is grace? We defined what grace is. All right, grace, what is it? Grace is receiving a benefit or a good thing from God that we do not deserve. And the greatest good thing that we've received from God is the forgiveness of our sins. Because without the forgiveness of sins, there is no eternal life with God in heaven. We've all messed up. We're imperfect human beings. And, you know, we've had messed up pasts. How many would agree? We've done some wrong things. We've said some wrong things. But God still lavishes us with His forgiveness by the work of His Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross 2,000 years ago, and by our faith in Jesus. All right? Grace, simply put, is the unmerited favor of God. Grace is the undeserved favor of God. Say it with me tonight. Grace is the undeserved favor of God. I'm going to share a personal testimony here for the next minute. I know of a situation where there are certain siblings involved in this situation where one of the siblings had really taken away everything that belonged to the other siblings. And he caused great controversy over the years, the many decades, and he basically took what belonged to the other siblings. He stole from them. And one of the siblings in this situation, even though she was stolen from by this person, by the sibling, she reconciled with him, forgave him, and has open communication with him on a consistent basis. She forgave him. She decided to be gracious to him. And that's what God does for us, right? Even though we don't deserve it, God pours His forgiveness out upon our lives by faith in Jesus Christ. Is that good news? All right, God's grace. Now, God's grace is shown in other ways beyond just forgiveness. Forgiveness of our sins is the most important demonstration of the grace of God. Let me say it again. God's grace is demonstrated in other ways in our lives beyond just the forgiveness of our sins. And we're going to talk about God's grace shown to two blind men in Matthew chapter 20, verses 29 through 34. So if you have a Bible, you can turn there. If not, I'll read it to you. And by the way, at the end of the service, if you need a Bible, we have got large print Bibles for you. It's our gift to you. Matthew chapter 20, verses 29 through 34. It says, as Jesus and His disciples were leaving Jericho, a large crowd followed Him. Two blind men were sitting by the roadside, and when they heard that Jesus was going by, they shouted, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us. Verse 31. The crowd rebuked them and told them to be quiet, but they shouted all the louder, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us. Jesus stopped and called them. What do you want me to do for you? He asked. Lord, they answered, we want our sight. Verse 34, Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes. Immediately they received their sight and they followed Him. The grace of God. That's awesome, isn't it? All right, I'm going to read you a quote by a guy named G.W. Knight. And it says this concerning grace. When a person works an 8-hour day and receives a day's pay for his time, that is a wage. When a person competes with an opponent and receives a trophy, that is a prize. When a person receives recognition for his achievement, that is an award. But when a person is not capable of earning a wage, can win no prize, and deserves no award, yet receives such a gift anyway, that is a good picture of God's unmerited favor. Now, these two blind men were incapable of healing themselves. Would you agree here tonight? In Matthew chapter 20, verses 29 through 34, they were incapable of healing themselves, yet they received the gift of God's physical healing. This was a demonstration of God's grace in their physical lives. How many would agree here tonight? All right, and maybe today you need God's unmerited favor poured out upon your life. Maybe you need physical healing in your life. I don't know what the situation is in your life. Maybe you've gotten a diagnosis of cancer or diabetes or high blood pressure, whatever it might be. Maybe it's in the life of a loved one, and you need God's grace demonstrated, poured out upon your physical being. Maybe you're needing a miracle of some other sort. And tonight, God wants to shower His goodness upon your life, His unmerited favor. All right, let's look at this account in Matthew chapter 20 a little more closely tonight. Now, these blind men, if you go back to Matthew 20, it says two blind men were sitting by the roadside, and when they heard that Jesus was going by, they shouted, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us." These blind men had what about Jesus? They had knowledge about Jesus, the miracle-working God. They had knowledge. They had head knowledge about Jesus. They probably knew the miracles that Jesus performed in weeks and months previous. If you go previous to Matthew 20, you can see Jesus casting out demons. You can see Jesus feeding the crowds. And so they probably had knowledge about Jesus. They knew about Him. They had head knowledge concerning Jesus. But they were about to know Jesus in a more personal way as Jesus stopped and conversed with them. All right, Jesus stopped and He called them. "What do you want me to do for you?" He asked. "Lord," they answered, "we want our sight." So it was about to go from head knowledge to heart knowledge. Are you getting it here tonight? All right. They knew about Jesus. And friend, I'm here to tell you tonight that you may know about God. You may have head knowledge concerning the Creator of heaven and earth. Maybe you were raised in a Christian home and you were taught about God. Maybe you went to Christian school and you were taught about Jesus. So you've got this knowledge about God. You've got this knowledge about Jesus in your minds. But friend, I'm here to tell you tonight, just knowing about God, just knowing about Jesus isn't enough to experience the grace, the unmerited favor of God in your life. To experience the grace of God in your physical body or in some other area where you need a miracle, you need a personal connection with Jesus like these two blind men came to have. Is that making sense here tonight? To see the grace of God poured out upon your life, be it in forgiveness, physical healing, reconciliation of a broken relationship. To see God's grace poured out, demonstrated in your life, you need more than just head knowledge about Jesus. You need a personal connection with the Almighty God. Is that making sense here tonight? Now, what was the key for these two blind men's personal connection with Jesus? This man's reading my sermon. It was faith. Let me ask it again. What was the key for these two blind men's personal connection with Jesus to where it would go from head knowledge to heart knowledge about Jesus? What was it? It was, like the brother said, the key was faith. If you want this personal connection with Jesus, if you want more than just head knowledge about Jesus, you have got to have faith. Now, Mark records the same account with a few different details in Mark chapter 10. He records it as blind Bartimaeus. And we have Jesus asking blind Bartimaeus in Mark 10, verse 31, "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. What caused the two blind men to receive their physical healing, sight for their blind eyes? It was faith in Jesus. Is that making sense here tonight? Do you need a miracle in your life? Do you need the breakthrough of God in your life? Well, you need to have that personal connection with God, that personal relationship with Jesus by faith. And that's what the two blind men had at the end of the accounts. And because of their faith in Jesus, they received their sight. How many here tonight are believing God for a miracle in your life? Anybody in the room here tonight? Maybe a financial miracle, maybe a relational miracle, maybe a physical healing, whatever it might be in your life, maybe an emotional miracle in your life. Maybe you're depressed and you want to experience the joy of the Lord. Friends, it takes faith in the Almighty God. Is that good news here tonight? As I said, it's to receive physical healing or any other kind of miracle in your life. God asks for nothing you can do except for your faith. He only asks for faith. Let me read one more quotation to you concerning faith. See if I can find it. And it says this: faith. Faith does not only exclude the thought of merit, it actually includes the idea of helplessness. In faith, one depends on another to do what a person is unable to do for himself. If a child is ill and the child's parents call a doctor, they are confessing their own inability to deal with the illness and are expressing their confidence in the doctor. There is no merit in calling the doctor. Their faith in the doctor merely gives them the opportunity to work. Is that good? Your faith in God, your faith in Jesus merely gives Him the opportunity to work His miracle, His breakthrough in your life. Now, what is faith? Let's talk about faith for the next couple of minutes. What is faith in God? Faith in Jesus Christ. What is faith? Anybody have any idea what faith is? Faith is a knowing that you know deep down on the inside that God is able to do the good thing for you that He has promised you. Let me say it again. Faith is a knowing that you know deep down on the inside of your knower right here that God is able to do for you the thing that He has promised you. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because he who comes to God must believe that God exists and rewards those who diligently, earnestly seek Him. The two blind men did what? They were earnestly, diligently seeking Jesus. That personal connection with Jesus. Maybe day in and day out, they were just believing that the miracle worker would show up close to them in their presence. And He did. And they were earnestly believing, earnestly seeking a connection in this miracle in their lives. And they received the thing that they believed for. Is that good? All right, so faith. Faith is the thing that God honors. If it's impossible to please God without faith, to me that says that with faith, it is possible to please God. Would you agree? Say it again. If it's impossible to please God without faith, that means that with faith, it is possible to please God. How many here want that personal connection with God, with Jesus? You've got to develop your faith. Start reading of the miracles Jesus performed in the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Start reading the Word of God. Don't just read it. Memorize it. Think about it. Meditate on the Word of God. Start praying to God. Start communicating with God. You know, start finding good Christian friends. And as you practice these things, these spiritual disciplines, your faith in God will develop. The God that did it 2,000 years ago in the Gospel is the same God who can do it for you today in Tulsa, Oklahoma, or anywhere else that somebody is listening. Is that good news? The Word of God says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. This means that Jesus never changes. The Jesus who healed 2,000 years ago, the Jesus who performed miracles 2,000 years ago, is the same Jesus who can do it for you right now in your life. Is that good news? Could you say amen tonight? So faith. Let me say it again. Is a knowing that you know deep down on the inside that God can do it for you. Let's talk about some of the characteristics of faith. Two characteristics. First of all, these two blind men had what? What kind of faith did they have? They were sitting by the roadside, and that when they heard that Jesus was going by, they shouted, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us." They just shouted. They were humble. They had what kind of faith? "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us." You could almost sense their childlike, doubtless faith. They had childlike faith. Characteristic number one, doubtless faith. Childlike faith. Unless you become as a little child, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. What kind of faith is God looking for in you and in me? He's looking for childlike faith, doubtless faith. Faith that does not doubt His goodness or His power for even a moment in time. Amen. Childlike faith. Doesn't matter what the media is trying to do, say to you. You know, the media is going to try to sow seeds of doubt in your mind concerning God. Family members may try to sow doubt in your mind concerning the power of God. But you know what? You've got to close off those channels and not listen to them and say, you know what? I'm going to have childlike faith. I know that I know that I know deep down on the inside that my God is able to do it for me, just like the two blind men. So say it with me, childlike faith. These two blind men had humility. They cried out to Jesus, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us." And then in verse 33, it says this. Jesus asked them in verse 32, "What do you want me to do for you?" "Lord," they answered, "we want our sight." Notice, they didn't say, "Lord, perhaps, or maybe if you could, maybe you can give us our sight." They just knew that they knew. "Lord, we want our sight. You're the miracle worker. You're in our presence. And we know that you can give us our sight." There was like no doubt in their faith. Could you sense that in the passage? Doubtless faith. And number two, the second characteristic of faith that they had was number two was what? For number one was what? Doubtless faith, right? Number two, they had what kind of faith? They had persistent, persevering faith. Persevering faith. Verse 31 of Matthew 20. They were shouting out to Jesus, "Heal us." The crowd rebuked them and told them to be quiet, but they shouted all the louder, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us. Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us. We know that you can heal us." So we can sense here persistent and persevering faith. How many would agree here tonight? God is looking for persevering faith in you and in me. Let's go back to the Old Testament for a second. How many here know about Abraham in the Old Testament? God made a promise to Abraham when Abraham was how old? When he was 75 years old. He said, "Abraham, I am going to make you into a great nation." How old was Abraham when he received the son that would become the great nation? When the son was born, Isaac, who would become the great nation. How old was he? He was 100. If you take 100 minus 75, what do you have? 25 years. Abraham believed God in faith 25 years for the promised son who would become the great nation. Is that good? He persevered for 25 years. And you've been believing a year or 6 months for your miracle? Or maybe 2 years, or maybe 5 years. Come on, let's look at Abraham. He waited 25 years. If he waited, he's a person, a man just like us. That means we can wait. We can persevere as well. Is that good news here tonight? Without wavering in his faith. Let's turn to Romans 4 to close it off here tonight. Romans chapter 4, Paul writes, concerning Abraham and his faith. This is what he says. In Romans 4:18. "Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be." Verse 19 is a key. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Verse 20, he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God. He did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith. He waited for 25 years for the promised son. Let me ask you tonight, what promise has God given you personally tonight? How long have you been waiting? But Jonathan, I'm just getting tired. I can't take it anymore. I've been believing for this physical healing in my life, this healing of this cancer, or this lowering of the blood pressure, or removal of the diabetes. I've been waiting a year, 2 years. I've been working on it, and God has promised me that He would heal me. But friends, I'm here to tell you tonight, keep on believing. When the going gets tough, the tough get going by faith in God.
Amen.
When the going gets tough, the tough get going by faith in God. Keep on believing. Don't give up in your faith. God is going to fulfill it in your life. How long could you hold on? Some people are at the threshold of their miracle, and you see it all the time. They're at the threshold, about to receive that good thing from God, and they give up right before they get it. I don't want to be there. How about you? I don't want to be there. How about you? You're on the threat. You might be tonight on the threshold of your breakthrough, of your miracle, whatever it might be. Finances, physical healing, reconciliation. Don't give up. Just keep holding on. Keep holding on. Keep on. Keep on believing in God, and God will make himself real in your life. Is that good news here tonight? It's got to go from head knowledge about Jesus, about God, to heart knowledge. And the key is faith. God wants to give you his unmerited favor. You're not capable of receiving that physical healing on your own. Doctors can't do it all the time. You may not be capable on your own of receiving that financial breakthrough. But guess what? We serve a really big God who wants to shower you with his favor, with his goodness, even though we're incapable on our own. Even though a lot of times we don't deserve it. Because why? He is a gracious God. Is that good news here tonight?